Welcome to Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast. I'm here with Dad and Cindy and Dell. And Dad, you know, the last couple of days we've made some, you made some predictions, one good and one, if you're a Montreal fan, good, and one that not so good. And both have come to fruition, as they say.
Fruition. I like that. You sound like somebody else I know. 7-7 power plays, 14 power plays in one game. And I'd like to know New York Rangers and Carolina. I'd like to know how anybody can play hockey with 14 power play goals. And then the other one, I think in Edmonton series with Chicago, there was 10.
Yeah. So there was 48 power plays in total.
Can't play hockey that way. But I have to admit, I have to go on and I have to say that the NHL is doing a good job. They have the music going at the right time. They have the crowd going at the right time.
Yeah, it really, you know, you got the screens look good, and
yeah.
You do after a while, you don't forget. Notice the fans aren't there.
I do. There are some games that I watched all the games that I have an idea that it's an outdoor game somehow or other. I get the feeling outdoor. I know it means a lot. And you dropped that first game, boy. You got to, what is it for? You got to win the next three.
Well, all the teams that lost, they got to win the three out of the next four games.
Boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be tough. Anyhow, and Carey Price came through. They were being outshot in the first period, 18-4. Canadians were being outshot by Pittsburgh, 18-4. They caught up near the end. But see, you hang around.
Yeah, should have been. It should have been 3-0 or 4-0 the first 10 minutes.
And then they get a fluky goal.
Yeah.
And 1-0. That's all he needed. That's all Price needed. And then Petry came through with the overtime. Never picked up the late guy coming in and zinged her home.
Yeah.
Now they're up. There it is, Price. You get a hot goaltender.
Yeah,
you can do anything.
And that game, I'm rooting for Montreal. I'm Canadian. I want to see Montreal win. And you know, we know Max and everybody. And Kirk, the penalties. I think the penalties they were was like 6-1. I think Montreal had one or two power plays. That was it.
And I know they had to battle back. I have to admit.
And we talked about a little bit. Pittsburgh did not have a great power play on the road. They were mediocre at best on the road. And
yeah,
they were 0-7 last night.
Malkin and Crosby? It's just hard to believe. But anyhow, a lot of penalties and. Price come through, and like I said before this, Cindy, do you remember when we played Chicago at 2-3, and it was my first year of coaching with the Boston Bruins. I'd taken the Stanley Cup finalists, and we were playing Chicago, and I remember we just hammered Tony Esposito, hammered him, and in the paper the next day, he's finished, and all stuff like that. I said, oh, boy. I said, we're in trouble now. I said to myself, I didn't tell her.
And then you have to remember that Phil and Tony, there were two brothers playing against each other.
Yeah.
So that's a good rivalry. And when the other one brother is the goalie for the other team, he's got a couple things to prove, doesn't he?
Well, I don't know. He was lousy that first game.
Yeah, I remember the one time, too, you were getting mad because Tony make a big save and Phil would go tap him on the pads.
I never forget the time. I'm hanging by a thread by the Boston Bruins, and Tony made a pretty good save. He always make a good save. By the way, he was the guy that cheated. He started all the cheating, and he'd be happy to hear me say this, as he was the first guy to pile the snow up by the bars coming down. He used to go and you know, if a guy was trying to sneak the puck around
yeah,
the side.
Yeah, so he would put the snow all around
And the referees finally caught on.
Yeah.
He was the first guy to have the bars on the mask.
And didn't he have, like, at one time he had, like, a little net? He had, like, a little part of his thing, so when he'd go
part
down.
Part of his glove.
When he would go down.
No, it was part of his glove, but mostly it was part of his sweater. And if you hit his sweater, the puck would get caught in it. He had everything down perfect. So I remember going in against them. We just hammered them 8-1. This is a piece of cake. And we couldn't get a pee by him. The next game was that infamous 2-3. Now 3-5 is almost as bad because you lose that first game, boy, you're in trouble.
So what do you think that was a bigger upset? Was it, you know, Montreal beating Pittsburgh or the shocker of Chicago just hammering Edmonton?
I'd say it was Chicago, and it looks like Taves is on a mission. Like he, haven't been making the playoffs. They've been sort of a joke. And when you give up seven shots by Patrick Kane, when he's in the mood, and that's what, and he had seven shots. I mean, you, and they were outshot. It wasn't like, you know, the every, you know, the, wasn't Chicago like outshot them.
Yeah, it wasn't like Crawford saved them or anything.
Yeah, it wasn't like it wasn't like the goaltender made great saves and everything. And it, I feel sorry for Smith. I mean, the goals that went in, he didn't have a chance on.
Yeah, you know, like the first goal, Strom bounced it off him, and he did that on purpose. The behind the net bounced it off him, and in, and Gretzky used to do that, right? But I, you know, I was watching the game, and the second goal was the power play goal, and all four Edmonton Oilers were in the one corner, and the puck came out to I forget who scored, and the guy just walked. He had all day. He could have done
picked his nose, he as picked, he said.
Yeah, as you say, and scored. And you know, I remember I was just thinking, and I'm not knocking the defense that you guys had because they all had hearts alive. But you had Brad Park, who was a Hall of Famer. But then you guys, you had Gary Doak, and you had Ricky Smith, and you had Al Simms, Mike Milbury, and Dennis O'Brien. And you know, they weren't. You know, they weren't super.
Dennis O'Brien set a record that year. He had was four clubs that year.
And how, like, you know, and but they look like they knew how to play their position. And you look at Edmonton just running around in their own end, it just it boggles the mind.
Well, you know, when I played, I went back to when I played, they're going to score from in front of the net. That's the big thing. They're not going to score, unless you're Gretzky, you're not going to score. From behind the net. He used to bounce guys, you know, bounce the puck.
Well, he did the one goal, but that happens once in a blue moon.
Yeah, right? It, usually most goals are scored from in front of the net. So I always had a guy in front of the net at all times. And what they do now is, if a guy's having a tough time, say, in the right corner, the left defenseman goes in and helps him. Well, as soon as he leaves that, bang, it comes out. That's why you see so many guys standing cold turkey in front. And you know, I hate to say it, the Leafs do that too.
Oh, yeah.
Like they'll their defenseman will run in and try to help the other defenseman. As soon as he does that, that's why Anderson has so many cold turkey goals. If I still think he's the best goaltender that I've ever seen. Anyhow, when I had the Boston Bruins, and we must have been doing something right because we had six. I think the percentage was 6.78. Percentage-wise to win, and we had good forwards.
So your big thing was that the defense had to stay in front of the net.
One guy. No matter what, work it out in the corner. I don't care. I had my centerman go in and try to help rather than have two defensemen. As soon as you have two defensemen in a corner, and I remember when I played, when I was on the right side, I knew I was in trouble. I always had the left defenseman playing the left side, and I always had the right defenseman playing the right side. Whoever that, don't tell me they both a defenseman can play both sides because he can't. He can play one side better than the other, and that's why we were successful.
And the one thing you always said too is you always kept the pairs together.
Always kept the pairs together. It's more important to me. I hear the press talking about lines together, lines together, lines together. Hey, listen. It got to be with Daryl Sly, who played for Rochester Americans. I played 6 years there. We won three championships. No, 5 years there. We won three championships. And we got to know. I roomed with him. I knew exactly what he was going to do. The puck, we come out of our end. We did everything. We knew exactly where we were going to be. And Al Arbor and Larry Hillman used to play together with Dwayne Rupp. And I know you never heard of those guys, but... those guys used to play together all the time. But Daryl and I always played. I remember one time I was playing with Larry Hillman. We were on 5 goals against. And every goal, and I don't care. You know, I don't, it doesn't matter now. Every goal was Larry's fault, and I got benched. So I went to the coach. I said, well, I don't understand this. I get benched. He says, well, maybe he'll play better with somebody else. So anyhow, defense is, to me, is the most important of all. You get the puck in. Did I ever tell a story about Dennis O'Brien? I don't know if I did or not. Getting the puck out?
No, I don't know.
If you don't remember, they won't remember.
Yep.
So anyhow, I went to Dennis O'Brien was with four clubs, and he was being, and he knew he was a good guy, and I knew his problem was he was a little heavy. All Irish guys are a little heavy. So he was being waved out of the league. It would cost nothing. I said, Harry, he said, wait a minute. We got a first-place club by 16 points. And you want to get a guy that's with four clubs and can't make Minnesota. Minnesota had a lousy year that year. I said, yeah. I said, what do you got to lose, Harry? You got nothing to lose if you don't, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't making much money.
Wasn't making money much, and the waiver price was nothing. So we got him, and I knew he'd fit in perfect. And I said, so I met him in the bar. Isn't that awful? I talk about that. I met him in the bar. I said, well, you're going to give me the game plan, Don? We play Philly tonight. I saw we were in Philly, and I said, okay, I'll meet you in the bar at 9 o'clock. What? Like, never.
This is the game. This is a strategy for a new defenseman.
Yeah. So we sat down, and we had a beer, and because it's, you know, when you bring a player into an office, it's like when I was a kid, as soon as I went into the principal's office, I knew I was going to get strapped, or I knew it was not going
so
to be good.
So once again, like psychiatrists say, it goes back to your childhood.
No, I don't know about childhood. But anyhow, I'm sitting at the bar, and he says, okay, Grapes, what are we going to, you know, how do you play? I says, you see that? I drew, and I said, give me that serviette there. So I drew a net, and I said, that's you back of the net. He says, yeah, okay. That's the puck there. You got the puck. You put it off the glass. That's it? I just put it around the boards and off the glasses. Unless you're playing with Park, you give it over to Park. But I said, anybody else you're with, you put it off the glass. And this is a true story. I know this is hard to believe, but it's a true story. I've only seen it once in my life, or maybe I was close to it. What happened was he had the puck behind the net, and John McCauley, God love him, the referee, is standing at our blue line, and Dennis O'Brien's got the puck behind the net. And it was one of those deals you'll very rarely see. Everybody changes. There's
at the same time.
And nobody, and it was like ding. And it was there was nobody on the ice. Like
wide open.
Nobody on the ice. And he rings the puck off the glass and almost hits John McCauley. And John McCauley goes back to him. He says, what the? There's nobody on the ice. And you ring it off the glass. He says, Grapes wants it off the glass. Grapes gets it off the glass. And you know what? It's the same thing. And now that we're getting going on, it's the same thing. I tell the defenseman that, except Park, and he wouldn't do it because he could work his way out. He was so good. He was an all-star. I think he was right behind Orr seven times. But anyhow, I knew we'd be up there. And defenseman, when I first went there, and they said, well, what if he's not there? I says, he'll be there. And that's the secret. You asked the question.
So your thing was the wingers had to cover the point, and the defense just put it around automatically.
Worry about it.
Just let me say something about how you drill that into the players. You know, we talked about Jerry Cheever's racehorses, right?
Yeah.
He named, and I have pictures of them, two of his racehorses are called Off the Glass and Around the Boards. Yeah. He named two of his horses' names in the days there. So that's how much that was ingrained in the players.
And it was and they would all do it except Park. And Park didn't have to because he was, you know, he'd work his way out. And well, Bobby Orr, the first year Bobby Orr was there. I mean, the only thing I ever said to the rest of the guys when Bobby Orr had the puck is, don't go offside. He thought that was funny. I really meant it. Don't go offside when he's got the puck. Okay, Tim, we have a new sponsor. And the NHL now, I know it's betting, but the NHL embraces, is that a good word for it?
Yeah.
Embraces, okay. And
so we got a new sponsor. It's my bookie, and you know, hockey's back and everybody's excited and watching it. So
well, if you're betting, I mean, you watch the game and you got money on the game, I don't care who you are. It's a little more exciting.
Oh, for sure. So, you know, my bookie has up to the minute odds and all your favorite teams and events. And so, you know, everybody's saying, is Toronto going to win?
Well, I have to ask you a question on this. I've been reading this. Now, I don't understand this quite, and you could explain this to me or explain this to us, our fan. If you want to bet 100, and is this a promo?
So we got a promo that if you join today and you put your first deposit in, so you go on, basically you go on the website, right? And then you put a deposit in, it's kind of like your kitty, right?
Yeah.
And then they'll match up to $500. So if you put $100 in, they'll match the $100.
So if I put 500, and I'm unemployed now, but if I had 500 bucks, and I could scrape together, if I put $500 in, they would match
right
another $500.
Yeah, and that's up to $500, yep.
This got to be a promo.
Right, it's a promo, and you enter promo code Grapevine.
Oh.
And how do you get to it?
So you join today, you join on, and you put a promo code. There's a promo, when you join up, there's a promo code. You put promo code Grapevine, and then you'll get that up to $500. They'll match your deposit.
Smokes. So. Well, yeah. I know I'm going to be on it, and I don't know if $500 is pretty good. And you can bet on anything, okay?
They have, hockey, football, basketball, soccer.
What about the presidential
caucus? Yeah, presidential race.
Is that right?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Do they really?
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't looked what the odds are. Trump was ahead, like, before the plague came, so I don't know what happened now. I think Biden's ahead now. And so remember...
You get the odds, eh?
Yep. So you just go to mybookie.ag, sign up today, put promo code Grapevine in, and they'll match up to $500 your deposit. And you know, that's their thing is, it's simple. You bet, you win, and they pay.
Sounds pretty good.
Can't
to
beat
me.
That.
Yeah.
No.
Now I'm going on the radio tonight from New York, and you say it was a pretty rough game. I know there was 7 power plays, or 14 power plays, but that was a pretty rough game.
Yeah, there was that big hit, and that was Brady Shea of the Hurricanes really hit Jasper Fast of the Rangers, and he got up on his own steam, but he looked pretty woozy. And, you know, Dad, you've said it right off the bat a long time ago that there's not a lot of hitting, but sometimes there's big hits, and exactly what you always said about the guy looking down.
What happens is, there's not, let's face it, folks, I'm not knocking the hockey now. It's faster and bigger and stronger and all that stuff, and but there's less hits. And what happened is you get careless and you have your head down and, this guy's not going in. All of a sudden you get one guy, what they say, it's too juicy. You just can't. Again, good job, Scott Stevens. I was, Scott Stevens in the Hall of Fame. They put him in the jail now where he used to hit. Anyhow, remember the hits he used to have? Oh, yeah. My goodness. I mean, boy, he could really hit. Man,
The Grapevine Show. We have a picture of him on your Twitter account. Boy, his arms are just like tree trunks.
Yeah. You know the guy that we were always so proud of, you know, back, I'm getting off on a tangent here, was Bobby Hall. Remember, there was a picture of Bobby Hall.
Oh, yeah.
And he was
bailing
on the floor,
hay.
Bailing hay.
Yeah.
But then,
infamous.
In Sports Illustrated, which was the big magazine back then, they had all the athletes in bathing trunks. They looked like 90-pound weaklings compared to him. Boy, he was really built. Yeah. How did we get into that? Oh, about the hitting and stuff. Oh, yeah. So what happens is, you burn. Some guys get his toes burnt. He's mad. And
that's exactly what happened was that Fast was coming up and he was looking for the puck and his feet and you know, Shea could have been a fire hydrant. He would have run right into him.
How about the time, and we've told that story many times, Ball, remember the big tall big defenseman? I won't go into that again, but he stood at the blue line from the guy started out behind the net and he ran right into him. Remember that?
Yeah, that
then he got a game miss and he says, I just stood there.
Yeah. But you know, and I think as you're saying that a lot of that's creeping into minor hockey.
Minor hockey, they have now, I think, in a lot of leagues now, they have no hitting till 12 years old.
Almost 13 now, I think, 13 or 14.
They don't understand. It's not the hitting. It's how to receive a hit. That's how, like, Marner, that's how, like... Dougie Gilmore.
Max. Look at Max, how short. You know, Max, he was smaller, and he knew. You know, he's like a rubber band man.
The reason is he knows how to take a hit. He knows when to go in the corner. He knows when to bail. He knows when to...
And he's always looking.
Now the guy's coming up now. And when you tell him, I've been there when they've told him, you can hit this year. Yahoo! You mean I can hit? And boy, they go out. No. I don't believe, and you know, they go to the mothers and they say, do you believe in safe hockey? No, do you believe in safe hockey? What are they going to say? No? Well, then they get a feel, eh? Well, do you believe in hitting? And that's how they took hitting out of hockey. It's not how you hit, it's how you take a hit. And that's the big thing. Gretzky, you couldn't hurt. I know Semenko and McSorley and those guys and everything. But if you ever saw Gretzky, he twirls. He twirls all the time when he's hit. Well, of course, he played lacrosse. They haven't ruined lacrosse yet.
No.
And he twirled, twirled, twirled. And you couldn't, you very rare, I only saw him really get zonked once. And that was that
and people have to realize, too, when kids hit, as you said, what are they, 13? That's when the boys, when I don't know what the girls, but their weight can vary. You could have one kid weigh 85 pounds,
yeah.
And some 13-year-old kids can weigh 125 pounds. And that's the difference in the weight has a lot to do with it,
remember
too.
Remember we saw Marner? He was looked yeah. like a little. He was so small, he had to be like Gilmore. He had to shove the sweater in his... And it's one side because it was down to his knees.
Yeah, and back then they were still kind of hitting. I think the hitting's gone down the last two or three years have gone down quite a bit. But I mean, a perfect example of that is Patrick Kane. I mean, he played in London, and when you're going into Windsor or you're going into Sarnia, you better keep your head up.
And I remember.
And look at him, like you couldn't hit him if you tried.
He knows when to get away. He got 7 shots last night. And he is...
I bet you he played lacrosse because, as you said, that's a really good summer sport for hockey players
to play. He's American. So,
oh, he's American. I'll forget about that.
But
I know Max used to play lacrosse, and that was his summer game.
Spin, spin, spin.
And spin, spin. And you, Del, you and Max used to play lacrosse together. And
I remember the very
talk about hitting.
I remember the very first time I saw kids play
lacrosse.
Walter Gretzky and I... And we went to a lacrosse game. We were in a penalty box, and we were watching the game. And they little guys come out, they come out like little soldiers, boom, 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 boom. And then they started playing. They're whack, whack, whack. So I said to Waller, does this happen all the time in this game? He says, yeah. He says, this is nothing.
You even asked, are they allowed to do that?
Yeah, I said, are they allowed? He said, sure. He said, that's a tough game. And it was a tough game. And it was an exhibition game. Now, and you know, and I'm walking out. I remember walking out with Waller. And this kid come up to me and said, okay, Mr. Cherry, I want to know one thing. Who's the better hockey player, Wayne Gretzky or Bobby Orr? And I'm standing beside Waller, walking out with Waller. So I said, let me put it this way to you. Walter, and I looked at Walter over, and I said, Wayne Gretzky is the greatest hockey player playing today. And Walter looked at me and said, you know, Graves, you'd make a good politician.
I think this is airing, we posted up on, Del posts the podcast up on Monday, and this Sunday morning we do the podcast, so the Leafs play Sunday night. And we kind of be careful of talking about the Leaf game because you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You don't want to say, because you got caught once or twice on Hockey Night in Canada. That's a funny story. Tell what happened there where you got caught taping something or trying to predict something, and then it all went sideways.
I think when I first started, I did tape, and the excitement was gone. I couldn't tape anything, so it was all live. So except this one time.
Yeah, I know. When you're one take. That's it. You got when we shoot you, you got one take on you, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, used to do commercials, say you got one, and I said I get worse after the first time.
Well, we're going to do a commercial. We got to tell one funny story about the commercial. Can I tell the story funny about commercial?
Yeah.
Dad was doing the commercial for a sealant, like a seal, that goes around. So you went down to Marineland to do a commercial with two seals, right?
Two seals.
So you'd start, and the seals were supposed to bounce a ball on their head, on their nose, I guess. So you start, and then the seal drops the ball. So you stop, the cut direct, but let's go again.
Because you were upset that the seal kept dropping.
No, what happened
dropping
was
the ball.
I kept saying, and the commercial was a good seal and a bad seal. So I'm sitting there, and this seal keeps dropping the ball. So I start over again. So the director finally said to me, Don, what is your problem? The seals are perfect. And I said, well, this seal keeps dropping the ball. He's supposed to drop the ball.
He's the bad seal.
He's the bad seal. I said, okay, thanks very much.
But you used to, all the coaches' corners were live, but there was just a couple of times you would take them.
Yeah, Don Wallace was the producer. This is true. And So he says, I was in Edmonton or somewhere. Wherever I was, I wanted to tape it. And it was in the playoffs, I think. And I said, Mike Vernon is the best goaltender in the world. There is no, and he had played terrific up until then. He was terrific. So I thought I was safe there.
So you taped it before the game.
This was before the game. And I never do that. And so I'm watching the game, and Mike Vernon, first four goals, bing, 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 he gets pulled. Four shots, four goals. Now I'm coming on at the end of the first period saying he's the best goaltender in the world. So I said to Don Wallace, well, you're not going to run that, are you? He said, well, we have to run. Well, you can't run it. After, and I went with bananas and as usual, and I think we did a satellite. First time they ever did satellite. I forget any. But I was going to come on, and that's why I hate taping, and I never did tape. And one take, and when I remember when we first started, I couldn't tape because they think, oh, well, if I make a mistake, come to think of it, I probably may have a job now if it had gone. Like, but anyhow, that's what I like, the danger of the thing, and I never taped after that.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, and you got to be careful because you can get caught. So that's why we're not talking about the Leaf game. We'll talk about all the Leaf stuff next week because they played it.
I'll tell you, boy, you have a team that plays defense, and they play defense good. And
boy, the Columbus did look good against Boston in the exhibition game. They were knocking the Bruins around.
And yeah, Columbus, they were.
And the Columbus looks big. They look like a big club.
But if they let the Leafs run wild, but let's not get into that.
Yeah, because we don't know. They might blow the Leafs out 7-0, or the Leafs might go 0-for-8 on the power play, so we don't know. Well, Dad, we want to wish Dale Howard Chuck good luck. You know, he's had a little bit of a tough time, and so we want to wish him the best.
Barry Flair is the coach?
He's Barry Colt. Yep.
Yeah, I care.
Barry Flyers, that's the old
name. They'll always be the Flyers to you, eh, Dad?
Yeah. Well, you know why? I think they changed that, the Flyers, I think. And the Junior B club, when I was there, was the Colts. And they had some problem with somebody. They had to name them Colts instead of Flyers for some reason. Anyhow, let me just say about him. This guy would be fantastic. Of course, he'd be fantastic any year. Mm. But he was a big guy. He's about 6'1", about 190 pounds. Beautiful skater. And he was good. He's a rookie of the year. He was first overall, Winnipeg's first pick. Seven-time All-Star. How's that sound? Pretty good. He's played 17 years. 17 years is pretty good. Now, let me just give you some of the first goals in his first year. 40. This is goals coming up. This is 40, 40, 37, 53, 46, 47, 44, 41, 26, 30, 31, 23, 35. That's the goals he got. I mean, can you imagine how much he'd be worth today?
Well, maybe $10, $11 million maybe.
Yeah.
And you say, though, and the thing was, as you said, he wasn't a sweetheart.
No, and I looked it up. I said, maybe he was a sweetheart, you know. 8 times he had over 100 minutes in penalties. So he got 45 goals, and he got 100 minutes of penalties. I mean, that guy, and we wish him the best of luck, and
you get back coaching, and if you want to help Dale out, go visit howardchuckstrong.com, and there's
get
some,
a hat, get
there's some merchandise, and you can leave him a message, I think, for good luck. So that's howardchuckstrong.com. And another thing that happened this week, Dad, unfortunately, Eddie Shack passed away.
Eddie Shack, the entertainer, clear the track. Here comes Shack. Byron McFarland never gets any credit for that, but he's the guy that wrote it. And I remember he came down, he used to say, imagine sending Eddie Shack down. Every time we saw him play, I see the old time. Every time he goes through all the teams, plays terrific.
Yeah, you know, like you hate to say it, like you watch some of those older games and you look at the guy skating, but boy, he could really skate.
He could really go. And terrific. And
so did you ever play against him?
Never. I played against him and I played with him. And when he came down to Rochester, he had a bad cut. He really cut over his eye. And I remember he used to get into a bad stick fight all the time with Larry Zidel, The Rock.
Yeah.
We done a story on The Rock?
Yeah, we run some clips on him.
We
So
they hated each other so much. They were in the stands in Niagara Falls in an exhibition game.
Yeah, because everybody that's a hockey historian, there's that photo of Shaq and Larry Zidel cutting each other up. And Eddie was playing for Boston at the time. But the story with that was that they got into it in an exhibition game in Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
And didn't they fight in the stands?
They were sitting in the stands, and they kept yelling at each other in the fans. And the police had to come and get them in the stands. It was a different back in those days. And I see the guys last night holding hands and everything like that. It's a little different hockey. Of course, hockey's changed. But imagine in the stands at an exhibition game, the police had to come to break them up.
Yeah. Well, him and John Ferguson always seemed to have a rivalry going.
They played the same way. John Ferguson, when you'd go in a corner with John Ferguson, he was the enforcer and got 20 goals for Montreal Canadiens. And Eddie Shaq, and they played the same. You go in a corner with them, you'd hit the elbows and sticks and everything, you'd go at them. There's a great picture of Jerry Eamon and Shaq when he played for Buffalo. And he's sideways, he's got Jerry Eamon around the neck.
Yeah, he's jumping around.
Yeah, he's jumping on him. Well, he was an entertainer, and I used to like his commercials and pop and everything like that. And everywhere he was always laughing all the time. And we had him on the Grapevine show.
Yeah. And you know what happened with that? I gave that show for somebody doing a documentary on him, and he never gave it back.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Being a good guy.
So I lost it. So I was going to play a clip, and I thought, oh, now I remember what happened.
Who was it?
I can't remember who it was. I can't remember who it was. I'll have to look to see, but that was a long time ago, so who knows where it is now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you'd say that. We're going to end. Now, how long have we been going here? But anyhow, I got to tell one story that I was watching TV last night, and it was a recent show, and they were showing all the injuries, and they showed Claude Lemieux when he ran, I think it was Detroit, when he was
Chris Draper.
Yeah, and Chris Draper, and just smashed his face in the. And then they shook hands with him afterwards, like they won, Detroit won. And it showed me coming on, and I just was livid. At Claude Lemieux, because I like Draper. I really like Draper. I like Claude Lemieux, the way he played. Remember the time he was laying on the ice? And I think it was in Calgary. He's playing for Montreal.
Yeah.
And Pat Burns wouldn't send the trainer out.
No.
guys were skating around. And, you know, the other team was just skating around him. And there he was laying there. And finally just got up by himself and come off. Anyhow, it had me coming on in Hockey Night in Canada, Ron and I, and I'm just living. And I'm just ripping Claude Lemieux and the rest of the guys for shaking hands and everything. They liked that one.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You mentioned Claude. His son, Brendan Lemieux, for the Rangers, got into a pretty good scrap in the exhibition games.
He's bigger than Claude.
Yeah, because we used to see him, and I know we kind of told the story before, we used to see him, and he played, I think he played for the Toronto Red Wings, I think.
Yeah, he did. And Claude was the assistant
coach, and the referees, I don't know if they didn't like Claude. And they would give him penalties after penalties, and he played like, he was a disturber, as you say.
But I remember Claude Lemieux, he was on Battle of the Blades, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Yep. And he was, so I remember, you know, in the back, we were in the green room or whatever, and there was a lot of coffee and all this, and so I said, Claude Lemieux, and I wanted to see Claude Lemieux and you meet in getting coffee and everything.
It yeah, because you'd always really given it you, to him.
I mean, there was sort of bad blood between you two. And then what happened was he had kids there. And when he came in, because I'm waiting to see what happens, all the kids ran up to you and is asking for your autograph and everything, which diffused the situation. It was quite interesting.
I remember he was on that Battle of Blades. He's, oh boy. Because I was really worried when I come up, you know, but I had nothing against the guy except I like Draper, that's all.
Yeah, I remember talking to him. He said that was the most nervous he's ever been.
Because he thought I'd say something.
But the Battle of the Blades.
Oh, but, yeah, when he come up. And
he just said, he goes, you know, you're doing those things, you don't want to embarrass yourself. And, you know, they all kind of, a lot of hockey players, their backs are sore and everything like that. And he said how nervous he was. But I remember once, you know, I think it was even before that. No, I guess it would have been after that. You still were going at it, and you met at Icelands in Etobicoke. You came around the corner and you guys almost bumped into each other. And he,
I remember
his eyes were going tilt because Brendan got thrown out of the game for nothing. Like it was like 30 seconds in and there, we could just see the referee just say, I don't want to put up with this. And he threw him out. And remember, he was just going bananas. And you kind of both looked at each other and you said, hey, that was a tough call, eh, Brendan?
Yeah,
or Claude. And Claude, you just went on a tirade.
I'll tell you one more story about Claude. It was in Team Canada. I'll never forget it. And you know how I liked the right, he was a right winger. Mm. And he was behind the net. It shouldn't end on this, but anyhow. He put it around to the point, and the guy shot it from the point. A lot of guys remember. And I think Brent Hall tipped it in. Is that? Anyhow, that was for the winner. So I went on after. I says, how could a guy put it around to the right point where he should have been? And the guy shoots it from there, and the winner goes in. So I give Claude Lemieux heck. So the next day, we had to get up early and go to Air Canada. We went to the lounge. There wasn't a soul except one guy sitting all by himself. It was Claude Lemieux. Oh. Yeah. Anyhow, we seem to be running into each other all the time.
Yeah, I remember in that series, him and Tkachuk got into a fight.
Yeah.
Remember? And then everybody says, I know Tkachuk was with the U.S., he says, but I was kind of rooting for him. I was kind of rooting for him and all that.
Tkachuk got in the fight Saturday night, too. He looked pretty good.
Yeah, he went pretty well. So, you know, what did you think of that hit?
Oh, you mean?
On Scheifele.
You know, I cannot say, I know that Paul Maurice should be upset. You lose a guy like Scheifele.
Yeah, that's a big blow.
Yeah, boy, this guy is a playoff guy, Scheifele. And I, you know, he was one of my favorites. And I hope he's okay. I don't know if he'll be back for the playoffs or not. But I would hate to think that Tkachuk took a skate and put him into the boards like that. I cannot say for a fact. I mean, a lot of people are upset with him, but I cannot say. I think if he wanted to really run him, he could have run him from behind. And
That would have been the one thing. You're right. Like, you know, if he wanted to crunch, he could have crunched him almost like Claude Lemieux created Draper.
Yeah.
Because Scheifele's back was right to him. So.
And I cannot say. So Tkachuk, I don't think he'd ever do that. If he ever did do it, but I don't think he did it.
And he stepped up to the plate. He fought Wheeler.
Yeah. And, you know, I like Wheeler and everything, but he's not. I mean, if he, you know, Wheeler, you got to admire Wheeler. At least he stepped up anyhow.
Yeah. Like, for the people that didn't watch hockey in the 70s and the 80s, he would have had to answer to like O'Reilly or Semenko or somebody like
McSorley.
That. McSorley. He wouldn't have answered to Wheeler. He would have answered to, you know, a guy, the policeman.
Yeah, it was a tough deal. And I hope Scheifele's okay. And it was a tough hit. And let's put it this way, that I think he just hit the boards the wrong way.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, Dad, playoffs keep going, and we'll be talking more next week about some teams might be out of the playoffs by now.
You learned that first game, boy. Thing.
We still haven't talked about baseball, but we'll get into it a little bit more. Maybe the baseball season might be over. We'll talk all about that.
I love baseball.
And once again, we're sponsored by mybookie.ag. And
give that one again. That I can't believe.
That they'll match your deposit, kind of, you know, that's your kitty. And if you put like $500 in, they'll match it up to $1,000. So sounds good. So if you think you know what you're talking about, go put your money where your mouth is.
Like me.